Good to see you. Now I got to get it on my belt again, though. It's a brand new one, so it's very tight. No, not the belt. The Okay, can we start over? Good morning. Glad to see all of you here this morning. So thankful that that all of you were able to make it. Thankful that we have some on Zoom, and I know that we have a couple of visitors here today, so I'm thankful for them as well. The announcements I have are mostly what's in the bulletin. I'll just highlight them. Next week looks like the last that you have the opportunity to order Easter flowers. There are envelopes back in the back still. So if you want to give any in, or sponsor any, I guess, in memory or in honor of someone, please fill out the envelope and get it to Sharon. We're taking Redner's tapes. That's something we've enjoyed doing. We get a great benefit from that. There's out on the table in the lobby, there's a collection basket. Okay, yeah, that's actually labeled Redner's tapes. And the LCCM breakfast is coming up, 8 o'clock, March 16th. See Gene if you're interested. No, you know what? We should just turn it on so that I can have background, real background music. It's cool. It's okay. And then we have the activities, the opportunities for study and for learning. Tonight, we continue. We just got started last Sunday evening. We started on the book of Revelation, looking at it as a message of hope and of victory. So tonight, as our second night, we're getting into the letters to the seven churches. On Wednesdays, we have the opportunity to go through the Gospel of Mark. We're doing that both in the evening and in the morning. This week, I will be away for the morning session. I have someone who has graciously offered to take my notes and lead the class. But Vicki and I will be away tomorrow afternoon and Tuesday and then Wednesday as well for a pastor spouse retreat that we enjoy going to. I get to sit where you're sitting. I get to be fed. I get to enjoy worship on that side and actually hearing God's word from some usually just wonderful speakers. And we get several opportunities to worship. So we're going to be at that. But I'll be back Wednesday night, so I'll be here for the Wednesday night session. We'll still have that. Wednesday morning session is still going on. It's being led as well. So then the one other announcement that I wanted to make, just make you aware of the fact that Connie Dunn passed away this week. I don't know if there's too many people that actually that know her very well, but you know that we were praying for her. She lived right over here on Cherry Street, and she passed away the other day. There will not be any kind of service for her, so I wanted to make sure we made an announcement just so that you would know. And today, when we take our prayer requests, we'll add her family to the list of prayer requests as well. So, is there anything else that we want to share that we need to remind each other of regarding our schedule? Any activities coming up that I forgot about?
We had one come up yesterday when we were doing the blankets. Some of the women had mentioned about the wood flowers. Last year at Easter time, I wore a wood flower hat. And so we've had some interest on March 23rd, if any of the ladies want to come together and make some Easter hats with my wood flowers. There might be a little bit of a cost just for the items that need to be used, but I just am looking for interest. So if after the service, if you're interested, men, if you want to wear an Easter hat too, that's completely okay. but if you have any interest, come see me afterwards. We're going to do it on the 23rd, just don't know what time yet. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, guys, we could start a new tradition.
Yes, you can do boutonnieres or pins. Ladies, if you'd like a little pretty corsage instead, that's okay too.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else on the schedule that we need to share with each other? Any other announcements that I should have thought of? Oh, let me give you a heads up. I will give you specifics coming up very soon. I need to get on this, but I do know that we are going to put together a missionary trip to Redbird Missions. It's in Beverly, Kentucky. So later in the year, probably August, because I want to include the youth if we're able to, if any of them are available and would like to go along. But we're going to spend a week down in Kentucky, down in the Appalachia area, helping to, you know, renovate houses or fix houses, add to houses, whatever. So I'm throwing it out there so that you can be watching for it. I need to get the details. I need to pick a week and get all that to you. But I just wanted you to know that we are going to be sending a group down there. And so I'm hoping that that might spark some interest in a few of you that might sound exciting to you, because I want to get out there. I want to get out and go do something like that. And this looks like a great opportunity. I know somebody that just started down there, and so I have a connection, and he and I have been talking, and we're looking forward to getting a group down there to help them out. Okay. Well, then let's pause. I can tell that I need to pause. I need to collect myself here, and we need to get ready to actually worship. So let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that we have the opportunity to come together like this as a family to worship you, to praise you, to thank you for all the ways that you have worked in our lives this week. Father, I don't want us to take anything for granted. All of this is yours. Everything we have, you're letting us have. You're asking us to be stewards of it. And that's not just money. That's not just material things, but even just our time, our interests. And so this morning, we give back some of that time, some of that interest, what our minds are set on. We just want to focus on you this morning, Lord. We want to lift up praises to you, and we want to hear your word. We want to hear from you. And so, Father, I pray that everything that we do here this morning would be to your honor and to your glory. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. For our call to worship, I'll ask you to stand if you're able as we get ready to sing our praises. But a call to worship, I've chosen Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, where we read, "I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. And I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High."
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare your living hope. Your presence, Lord. Have tasted of the sweetest of roses, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are. the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.
Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive the ones who've sinned against us. Forgive them. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us, as we forgive the ones who've sinned against us. Forgive them. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. It's yours, all yours, all yours. The kingdom, the power, the glory are yours. It's yours, it's yours, all yours, all yours. Forever and ever, the kingdom is yours. It's yours, it's yours, all yours, all yours. The kingdom, the power, the glory are yours. It's yours, it's yours, all yours, all yours. Forever and ever, the kingdom is yours. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart.
Amen. Amen. All right, take a moment to greet someone and let them know God loves them. Good morning. God loves you guys. We'll take a moment now to share any praise praises that we have, any praises we want to share with everybody. How was God active in your life this week? We got one up here, Aaron. Right there. Check.
His mom had her surgery and she's recovering beautifully.
Good. Good. Excellent. Praise the Lord. Over here. Aaron, we got two over here. I think you're on your... Oh. Hi.
So I have a praise. Yesterday, me and Aaron went to the farm to go hunting on a squirrel hunt. But that's what he wanted to do for his birthday yesterday, is spend that with me. So just a praise.
A praise, okay. Happy birthday.
I just want to say thank you for everyone who helped us Wednesday night. The help is greatly appreciated. It went over well. We had more people Wednesday night than we've had for a while. And a special thank you to Cindy for cleaning up that mess in the pot we left.
Any other praises? And how about, okay.
I'd just like to say praises for the get-together this Saturday, making the blankets. It's always good to get together and do that for a good cause, and it makes people happy, including us.
Yep. Amen. Any other praises or any prayer requests that we might have? As I mentioned earlier, of course, we want to keep the family of Connie Dunn in our prayers.
A praise would be for that praise band this morning. Those words were so stirring, so... And also, our friend Jim Kiner is coming home with hospice in place. He is very ready to meet his heavenly Lord. Family, just for peace and easy transition for Jim and Carol and the family.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like prayers for a gentleman I met yesterday afternoon up in Richfield, Pennsylvania. He's suffering from, I believe would be bladder cancer, and he's going through a series of radiation treatments. So his name is Lyndon Steimling.
Okay.
From us, there's a praise. Nathan was able to finish work on his Eagle Scout project this week, so that's been a long process in coming, so we're thankful that that part of the process is done. And also there is a prayer on Zoom from Jim Rothline, which I can't see the computer. One of his Milton Hershey acquaintances passed away this week. Bob Biddle? I can't read it, I'm sorry. So just anyway, prayer for Milton Hershey family on their loss.
Okay. Any others?
I have a good friend who has a son, and he's autistic, and he fell very ill on Friday, I believe it was, at school, had to go home early, and he's been having a really rough weekend, and he's unable to tell her, you know, everything that's wrong, and because he's nonverbal, and and it's very difficult right now. He's very ill, and she has also gotten it now, and so just prayer for all of them. His name is Daniel, and hers is Michelle. Thank you.
Any others? All right, well, let's lift these people up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, first of all, for these milestones that were mentioned, and even some that are being celebrated that weren't mentioned, but birthdays, we just thank you for opportunities to celebrate as we turn the calendar, and, you know, on another year of your blessings, of your graces, and just of your presence in our lives. And Father, we ask you to be with these people that we've mentioned. We ask for you to comfort the family of Connie, and also give strength and comfort to the family of Jim as he is on hospice, and just both of these families, help them to continue to lean on you, and to lean into you, and just may they sense your presence and your comfort during these difficult times. Father, we also thank you for putting Lyndon in Sam's path so that he would have a chance to talk with him, and we pray for your healing for Lyndon and his bladder cancer. Pray that, that you would just touch him and deal with that cancer, and that your will would be done in his situation. We also ask for your comfort for the family of Bob, this Milton Hershey alum that has passed away. And we pray for that family also to feel your presence and your comfort. And Father, would you hear Daniel, even though he's nonverbal with us. I know that you can hear him and you can hear his thoughts, and I pray that you would heal him, give him the peace that would come with healing as he's struggling with this and struggling with not being able to let people know verbally what's wrong with him. We just pray for peace in his case and pray for healing for him and for his mom, Michelle. And give her strength and understanding as he continues to heal from his illness. Father, I pray for just all those in our congregation too who may be home because of illness, maybe those who are just getting over illness, healing from that, healing from surgeries, healing from mental anguish and from anxiety and loss, just so many things that hit us, Lord, and we just come to you. We come to you for peace and for comfort and for strength. We thank you for the way you provide for us each week through our income, and we've given a portion of it back as an offering. We ask you to accept it, and that your will be done as you decide how best to use it. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join in singing hymn number 17, O Worship the King. This morning we want to talk about a flourishing church as we continue our study. study of the book of Acts, we're going to see that we're running into a new church. This church, group of believers, as the church itself, the overall church, continues to grow. Today we're in Acts chapter 11 and starting with verse 19, where again we're going to see a new set of believers, and we're going to see how they are flourishing. Now, flourishing is a term that can be very vague. It depends. People have different definitions of flourishing. At the middle of the year, we have to send a report in, middle of the year, end of the year as well. We send a report into headquarters down to Myerstown, to the denomination church center. And we send this form that they ask us to fill out, and it has things like total membership. What's our membership number? What's the average attendance for worship? What's the average attendance for Sunday school? How many discipleship groups do we have? And what's the average attendance of all those discipleship groups? So there's a lot of questions on here that are looking for numbers. How many people do we have attending the different things that we do? Now, they also ask for how many new professions of faith, or how many baptisms have we had? And again, just numbers that help to let them know how we might be gaining or declining in attendance numbers. But I don't think that necessarily fully defines a flourishing church. We're going to see that the church today is adding to its numbers, but it's doing more than that. We have to be careful. It seems that today, as we add to our numbers, churches typically are just swapping sheep. That, when we bring in new members, we find that they are members that used to be going to another church, and maybe they moved, and it's easier to come to this one. Very rarely are we adding to the kingdom. And that's part of the definition of a flourishing church. And that's what we're going to see in today's set of verses. A church that's actually impacting the kingdom as well as adding to their own numbers. So I'm going to look again at Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 19. We read, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed," and so I'll pause there. We got to go back to chapter 8, at the beginning of chapter 8, and as we found that Stephen was killed and a man named Saul was there, if you remember, who approved of their killing. And it said, "On that day a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles," and I want you to remember that, "all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria." And we've already talked about some of the places where they scattered. We heard some stories about Damascus and Lydda and Joppa. We had the centurion that was in Caesarea. Well, today we're moving farther. We're finding out where some of these other people scattered to. So during that persecution, these people traveled as far as Phoenicia, which is up along the coast. We keep traveling north. Phoenicia, Cyprus, which is actually an island out in the sea, not too far off the coast, and Cyrene. Cyprus and Antioch. Antioch is back inside on the mainland, but again, up north. So they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. So they're doing one thing, they're doing good and bad. One thing, they're spreading the word like they should be. These are people who have scattered from Jerusalem. So the church kind of grew. It was down in Jerusalem doing its thing, but then it scattered. So now we've got the church out in these other places. And they are spreading the word. But unfortunately, they're only spreading it among Jews. Remember that most of they haven't got the word yet of what happened back in Caesarea. And most of these people, the Jews, felt like they were the ones who were special. They were the ones who were going to be saved. They only spoke to each other about Jesus. But it does go on then, and it says, "Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene," Cyprus, again, is up there, that island off the coast. Cyrene is much, much farther, way, way south. But there are men from those areas who went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also. So good, that's good. We're spreading the word to more than just Jews, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And it says, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So they didn't just add to the church, they impacted the kingdom. Many people believed and turned to the Lord. Now, the one thing that we can notice from this paragraph is that there were no superstar apostles. There were no high-profile pastors, authors, whatever, who are leading this church. The people responsible for this great preaching and for this great number of people turning to the Lord, well, it's the Holy Spirit who's responsible, but the people who are spreading the word, we don't have any names. All we read is them. It talked about some of them went out, and the Lord's hand was with them. They're just common people like you and me. Again, no superstar apostle has come up there to lead this. This is an effort that's being done by a bunch of people like you and me, a bunch of yous, a bunch of thems. And so that's the first thing. That's the important part to notice here in this first paragraph. Antioch is a city that is, think of it as like a New York City. It's a cosmopolitan city. There's about 300,000 people who live there. It's a commerce center. There's all sorts of people coming through there, all types of people, all kinds of thoughts, religions, etc., coming through that city. And these common people have spread there, have dispersed there and have spread the word. They're starting to spread the word all over the town, all over the city, without any kind of special instruction, special training. They didn't go to seminary, anything like that, and they're not being led by any rock stars or superstar apostles. But the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Now, unfortunately, when you have something that's being successful like this, and you don't have anybody that has a special name or anybody that is well known, people start to question the credibility of it, right? And that's exactly what headquarters is doing here as we go to verse 22. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem. That's headquarters. That's back at Jewish headquarters. It's reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. They wanted to check this out, and they felt like, I hope that this was an intentional effort that they sent Barnabas. I hope it wasn't just that he had nothing else to do and they decided to send him, because he's the perfect person to send in this situation. If you remember, we heard that he's from Cyprus. He's from that area. He would know the culture of those people very well. But more importantly, we remember that Barnabas is not his real name. It's a nickname. His name was Joseph. This nickname, Barnabas, means son of encouragement. He was an encourager. And so we know that when he goes, he's not going to go with a super critical eye where he's ready to start writing down everything that they're doing wrong. He's going with an encouraging heart. And it says in verse 23, then when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he recognizes that God's been gracious with them and that it's God's grace that is could be attributed to this. It says, when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Now, unfortunately, the NIV misses there's a Greek word in between verses 23 and 24. It's hoti. It says because. And so actually, instead of two separate thoughts here, verse 23 actually runs right. I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to throw in the word because as we then move on to 24. So when he arrived, saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts because, verse 24, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. His encouragement, his the Holy Spirit allowed him to see the good things that were happening at this church rather than trying to find everything that was wrong and needed to be corrected. He was a good man and found all the things that he could encourage them about, including telling them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. And when you've got somebody who comes in and is seeing the good things that you're doing and encourages you that way, it's a lot easier to listen to them and listen to their encouragement than if he had come in and said, well, you're doing these 10 things wrong, but I want to encourage you to remain true to the Lord. Well, you're not exactly in the right kind of mood to hear his encouragement to remain true to the Lord when he just criticized you and he's got his list of top 10 things you're doing wrong. This man, Barnabas, was the right person. He came in with an encouraging spirit. He came in, found the things that they were doing right, and he pointed them out to them and told them, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job. But it says that a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So this church just keeps growing. There were already people believing and turning to the Lord, great number of people before Barnabas got there. And now since he's there, a great number of people more were brought to the Lord. So there's a lot of things going on, and Barnabas realizes he needs a little bit of help. And so he could either go 300 miles back down to Jerusalem, or something comes to mind. There was this man that he stood up for, and that he spoke in support of to the Jerusalem church, that man named Saul, that the people back in Jerusalem didn't really trust Saul because of his past, but he had been converted. He was a new man. Barnabas recognized that, but some of the others didn't, and they had to send Saul off to Tarsus. Well, guess what? Tarsus is only about 100 miles from where Barnabas is right now. And he remembers Saul. And so instead of going the 300 miles to Jerusalem, he goes 100 miles up to Tarsus. Verse 25, Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So he goes and he gets this man that he had supported, he was an advocate for, and brings him back and says, I want you to help me out. He brings him back to the church in Antioch so that they can work together. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. So he spends a year of Bible study, and probably not just Sunday nights. This is probably almost a daily occurrence where people are being taught by Saul and by Barnabas. And they're learning. They're growing not just in their numbers, but in their faith, in their understanding of God. And then there's this separate line in this verse. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So this is the first place where people started to call them Christians. Now understand that this was not a compliment. They were making fun of them. This was meant to be a little bit disrespectful. And it's just that people were following this person that they referred to as the Christ. And so they just put the Ians at the end of it, the I-A-N-S. Like, if you followed Herod, you were a Herodian. If you followed Caesar, you were a Caesarian, And so this case, you followed Christ, you were a Christian, or you were a Christian. But they made it, they used it to kind of make fun of them. Antioch at this time, apparently, from what I read, was very famous for making fun of people. It was an area that, if you wanted to go and have people make fun of you, that's where you headed. But they gave them this name, Christians. Now, you have to understand, too, that means it's Gentiles who are calling them that. Because the one thing you can guarantee is not the Jewish people calling them that. And that's because the Jews did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. So they never would call them the Christ followers or the Christ people, because they don't believe that Jesus was the Christ. So we're talking about Gentiles living in Antioch who are making fun of these people who are following, talking about Jesus as the Christ, and they gave them this new nickname, Christians. Verse 27, during this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. Now, just one point. I mentioned that we're way north of Jerusalem. But remember, I think I've mentioned before, anytime you come from Jerusalem, you come down, just because Jerusalem is way, way up on a hill. You always go up, whether you're south, north or south of Jerusalem. You go up to Jerusalem, you come down from Jerusalem. And so some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And then, because this is being written later, remember, this is someone's account, John Mark's account, this is an account of Luke's account of what had happened. He then puts in parentheses, this, it actually did happen. He says, this happened during the reign of Claudius. So a prophet stands up, tells them a severe famine's coming. And what did they do? The disciples, next verse, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. They hear that there's a famine coming, so they're proactive. They decide to send money down to Jerusalem, to headquarters, to help out whoever's going to need it. The thing to remember about this, too, is that they're part of this region as well. The famine's going to hit them, too. They could have stored up their resources, could have stored up their money, and recognized that we're going to be hit with the famine, too. Maybe we'll give them a little bit, but it says they, as each one was able, they decided to provide help. That's not just as each one decided what they could afford. It was as they were able. They gave to the brothers and sisters living in Judea. Verse 30, this they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So what makes this church a flourishing church? Well, first of all, it's a giving church. They gave to their brothers and sisters, even though they knew the famine was coming their way. They're a hungry church. They're going to Bible studies every day, probably. So for a whole year, they're studying under Barnabas and Saul. And they're a very active church. It's all happening because of the thems, the people who are getting involved, who are getting the word out. And the one thing we see, that they're a growing church because of attendance, but also, as I said, there's an impact on the kingdom as well. This was not because they built churches, built buildings, and said, if we build it, they will come. The idea here is that we can still say that, we can still use that phrase, if we build it, they will come. But no longer can we say, if we build a building like this, they will come. What we have to say now is, if we build it being a relationship, if we build a relationship, they will come. In order to be a growing church, we have to be a going church. We can't be too concerned about how many butts are in the seats. We got to be more concerned about how many boots are in the streets. Took me a while to come up with that. Why, are you writing it down? Am I going to be quoted on Facebook or something? No, we can't be worried about how many butts are in the seats, but how many boots are in the streets. That's one of the things that's going to make us flourishing. Right now, we're doing pretty well. You know, I'd say we're surviving, we're maintaining, we're I don't know if we're growing, but in order to be flourishing, that means we got to get out there. We've got to make these relationships. We got to build the relationships, and then they will come. We're already doing pretty well with the giving and the hearing of the word. We've got classes available, as I said. Any other opportunities, I'm very welcome to listen to. If there's something else you want to study and you can't make the days that we've already got scheduled, that's important. Let's set up some teaching opportunities. But the biggest thing here is the first part of this story, the thems. The thems who were out there, who were spreading the word, who were just telling people about Jesus and how Jesus had affected their lives. That's the part that we've got to remember. Getting out there, sharing that with people, building those relationships, bringing them in, adding not just to our numbers, but adding numbers to the kingdom. That's the biggest goal. That's the important goal. And that's what will lead to a flourishing church. As long as we remember why we are a church, remember the foundation of our church, and we're about to sing about that. Keep those boots out there in the streets, and then we'll fill our seats, but we'll fill the seats in the kingdom as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth that we find in your word, even when it sometimes makes us uncomfortable. We enjoy being comfortable Christians, and we're ready. We're ready to share with anybody who will come to us. But Father, I pray that you will light a spark in us to recognize that that doesn't happen so much anymore, that we need to have a spark in us to get out there and to share your word with the people who are hungry to hear it, who need to hear it, who want to hear it. Some want to hear it and don't realize they want to hear it. Help us, Lord, to open our mouths and to move our feet. We recognize that you are the foundation of this church, that we only exist for you. And so, Father, I pray that you will give us the strength to follow you right out there into the streets. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll encourage you to stand if you're able, and let's sing our final hymn, The Church's One Foundation. And so as your boots hit the streets, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.